My name's Phil Common. 3 years ago, I was a C-plus chemist in Youngstown, Ohio, with a bar band that was actually good and a job that wasn't. Then, I told a man in the bar that magic wasn't real. I was wrong. This is where I tell you everything that happened after, into a box, late at night, because the box doesn't laugh. Welcome to the Common Tales. Tonight, the day I met a lord who decided, almost immediately, that he liked me. And I have never once figured out what I did to deserve it. Okay, you there? Little red light. Good. It's late. The mead's about half gone, and I've been sitting here for, I don't know, a while, trying to decide if I'm going to talk about this guy or not. And I keep deciding not to, and then I keep pouring another one, and now here we are. So tonight I'm going to tell you about Lord Edwin Castle. And the thing you've got to understand about Edwin, the very first thing, is that he looks like somebody crossed a country squire with a golden retriever, and then was perfectly happy about it. That's it. That's the whole man. Big shoulders, gray at the temples, boots that have already been outside once this morning and are kind of hoping to go again, the handshake that makes you feel like you're the most important person who's walked through his door all week, and the infuriating part, the genuinely infuriating part, is he does that to everybody. And he means it every single time. No diminishing returns. The guy never runs out. I'm telling you about him because, honestly, because I don't know how to think about him. And the box doesn't talk back, so you get to be the one I figure it out in front of. So, how does a bard end up sitting across from a lord in the first place? Because that's not a thing that's supposed to happen. Guys like me play the tavern down the hill. We do not get the chair by the fire. What happened was, I was doing my circuit, working the rooms within a day's ride, and somebody who'd heard me play a couple towns over apparently mentioned to somebody who mentioned to the Cassell household that there was a bard worth hearing. And I get an invitation. Come to the estate, play a little, stay for the evening. And I figured, free dinner. You don't say no to a free dinner from a guy with a name on a town. So I go up. And the estate it's old. Stone the color of old parchment, ivy that's been growing on the east wall long enough to have strong opinions about how it's arranged. I grew up in a house built in 1978. Where I'm from, the family heirloom was a photo of a steel mill my grandpa kept on a shelf without remembering which mill it was. This place had been somebody's for centuries. You could smell it. Wood polish and old smoke, even with no fire lit. And I do my thing. I play. And here's where I gotta tell you. I gave him a movie. Of course I did. That's the whole act, right? I take something from back home and I sand the serial numbers off and I tell it like it's an epic somebody's grandmother passed down. Knights and rivers and a guy who didn't want to fight, fighting anyway. I'm not going to tell you which one. A bar doesn't show you the seams. And Edwin loses his mind. In the best way, the good kind, the uncalculated kind. He's leaning forward, both hands around his cup, like we're out in the cold instead of in a warm room, eyes bright. And when I finish, he just claps me on the shoulder, this big warm hand, and he says, "Again, the river one. Play me the river one again." And I do. And somewhere in there, he just decides out loud with total confidence the song is about his grandfather. It is not about his grandfather. It is ballpark about a war that happened in a country that does not exist on this side of anything. But he's decided. And honestly, who am I to take that away from a man? If a song about a river makes him feel close to his grandfather, then for Edwin, that's what the song is about. The song belongs to whoever needs it. That's kind of the whole job. So now it's his favorite, the river one. Every time I come out there from then on, "Phil, play me the river one." Every time. And I want to be clear, because it'd be easy to make him sound like a mark. He's not a fool. He's not some soft, rich guy who claps at anything. The man runs a town, 5,000 people, give or take, and he runs it well. There's this thing he does where the warmth never turns off, but somewhere behind it he's measuring, quietly, taking your read. You only notice it later, going home on the road, when you realize he asked you 4 questions and you answered all of them, and somehow he's the one who came out knowing more. That's a skill. That's the realest kind of authority I've run into over here, or back home for that matter. The kind that's wrapped so completely in being glad to see you that you forget its authority at all. And here's where it gets weird for me. Because the whole time, the whole evening, I'm waiting for the catch. I am sitting there in this warm room drinking the good stuff that a servant just sort of materializes with before you even ask. And I am scanning because everybody has an angle. That's the rule. That's how it works. You don't get treated like this for free. There's an ask coming. There's a, while I have you, there's a thing the nice guy wants that the nice is paying for. Back home, I had a real nose for it. The guy who buys the round and then 6 rounds later, it's, hey, so funny thing, I'm a little short this month, right? The warmth is the down payment. I knew that game. I was, if I'm being honest, sometimes on the wrong side of that game myself. Takes one to know one. So I'm sitting in Edwin's good chair and I'm braced, waiting for the bill, and it doesn't come. He just likes me. That's it. He wants to know what I see when I look at the town. He asks me actual questions, specific ones, and then, this is the part that got me, then he listens to the answers. He waits for them. He's curious, genuinely, weirdly, durably curious about a tavern bard who showed up to sing for his supper. And I kept thinking, okay, here it is. Here's the turn. And the turn never came. The whole night, the worst thing that man did to me was refill my cup and ask my opinion on the price of grain. I gave up trying not to like him about an hour in. It is not a winnable position. You cannot dislike Edwin Castle. People have tried. It can't be done. And then there's the chairs. So in his receiving room, there's this low table and 2 chairs pulled up close to it. 2. Right by where the fire goes. And the first time I'm out there, I kind of hesitate, you know, because which one's mine? Is one of these the Lord's chair? Am I about to commit some chair crime? And he just waves me into one like it was always mine. Like there have only ever been 2 chairs, and one of them was always going to be the bard's. Sits down in his own with the ease of a guy who's been getting into that exact chair for 20 years and knows precisely how it's going to catch his weight. 2 chairs by the fire, one of them mine, no bill. And okay, this is a small thing, but it stuck with me. There's a 3rd chair in that room, off to the side, couple feet back, not facing anything, not part of the conversation. Like somebody moved it once and nobody ever moved it back. And I keep noticing it every time, this extra chair just sitting there out of the circle. I don't know why it gets me. A whole warm evening around 2 chairs and a 3rd one right there nobody's looking at. Anyway, old houses accumulate furniture the way they accumulate ivy. I didn't know what to do with any of it. I still don't, a little.
Long day? Goblins on the northern pass. Somebody crying for a song about their grandfather. And at the end of it all, the ale's the same temperature as the room? Friend, introducing the cold box. Here's what the cold box does for you. It keeps your drink cold. All day. No ice, no cellar, no run to the stream. You open the door, you reach in, and it is cold. In a world that thinks warm ale is just how beer comes, you will be the most powerful person you know. How's it work? I went to an enchanter. I said, I need a box where things stay cold. That's the whole ask. And he looks at me, dead serious, and goes, you want me to bind a frost elemental to a cabinet? And I said, buddy, I do not care how you do it. I want a cold beer after a long day. Now the fine print. There is, allegedly, something living in there. It hums. I don't ask its name, it doesn't ask mine. We have an understanding, and as long as nobody opens the door at exactly the wrong moment, that understanding holds. We're calling that the companion feature. Cold drink, long day, one very chill-bound entity. Don't think about the elemental. Get the cold box. Okay, back to the story. Okay. Mead's a little lower now. I'm going to say the part I've been walking around. It's not that Edwin likes me. Lots of people. I'm likable. It's the one gift I got in spades. It's the way he likes me. Edwin looks at me like I'm a son. Like he wishes I were his. He never said it in those exact words, not the first night, but it's in everything. The shoulder, the come again soon and come for longer. The way his whole face does this thing when I walk to the door, like the good part of the day just arrived. And I want you to understand who that's landing on. My whole life, I was the adjacent guy, not quite good enough for the school I wanted, not passionate enough about the work to be great at it, always in the lesser version of the room I wanted to be in, with my nose against the glass of the real one. Nobody ever looked at me and just approved. For free, with nothing owed and nothing pending. And here's this good man, and he is good. That's not in question. That's the whole problem. Here's this genuinely good man who looks at me and just lights up. And I don't trust it. I don't. I can't. Some part of me is sitting in that warm chair going, he doesn't know me. He's lighting up at the song, at the warm guy with the lute, at the version of me that walks in the door and is fun for an evening. He's not lighting up at whatever's actually under here. And there's this, okay, there's a feeling I don't have a name for. It sits low, kind of behind the ribs. Every time Edwin is good to me, it gets a little heavier, like guilt almost, which makes no sense. I haven't done anything. I sang a guy a song about a river and he gave me a chair. That's the whole transaction. There's no crime. There's nothing to feel guilty about. But it's there. This low, dumb, unearned. It's the feeling of being handed something you're pretty sure you didn't pay for and not knowing where to put it down. That's the closest I can get. Being loved on credit by somebody who'd be embarrassed to ever call it a debt. I deflect it mostly. I make a joke. I play the river song. I have another cup. That's my whole emotional toolkit, if I'm honest. Joke, song, leave before it gets heavy. But I'm telling the box, so I'll say it once, plainly. I don't think I earned that chair, and I can't figure out how to sit in it without that being true. Now. One more thing, and then I'll let it be. Because it's not fair to talk about Edwin lighting up at me without telling you about the daughter, Margaret. Wren, she calls herself Wren, picked it herself, something small and fast that doesn't live in a manor house. Her father calls her Margaret, every time, with this little fond surprise, like he keeps gently forgetting she lives there. And the thing is, she's the real article. She can ride, she can shoot, she can track a goblin trail through a birch stand and tell you from the spacing of the prints whether something's pushing them south. She came in that first day with mud on her boots and a bow on her shoulder and a scrape on her hand she wasn't even paying attention to. She is everything that man could have wanted in an heir. She earned it, out loud, in the field, every day. And he looks past her, to me. The bard who showed up and sang him a movie. She doesn't make a scene about it. She just files it. Sits a little apart on her stool, says the smart, accurate thing, watches her father say, "Very thoughtful, Phil," to the guy holding nothing he built. And I notice it. I notice her. The way her own father doesn't. I don't know what to do with that either. I clocked it. Filed it away. The way you do with a thing you know is going to matter and you're not ready for yet. Anyway, that's the room. Two chairs, a fire that's always laid and never lit, a daughter on a stool, and a good man lighting up at the wrong person. This next one's about the chair. I've been turning it over for a while. It's grateful mostly. There's something else threaded under the grateful that I haven't got the nerve to look straight at, but it's an honest song.
Up the long hill in the cold, half of my welcome to guess. He opened the door on his own, said my name like it was good news, no less. And he gave me the chair by the fire. He gave me the chair by the fire. No price, no catch, no quiet little ask. Just sit, you'll play it better. And the warm at my back, he gave me the chair by the fire. Poured the good cup with his hand, lord of the place, and he leaned. Asked me what the low town said, and he waited for the answer like he meant it. So he gave me the chair by the fire, and he gave me the good cup poured higher. No price, no catch, no quiet little ask. Just tell me, truly tell me. And he heard the whole thing back. He gave me the chair by the fire. All my life at the glass, nose to the window looking in. Every good room I ever wanted, I was fun for a night and then gone in the morning. Now the door swings wide and the good man calls me kin. So why is there a weight I can't lift, sitting low where a gladness should have been? For he gave me the chair by the fire, gave me the cup and the name and the fire. No price, no catch, and that's just it, I can't pay. So I sit here so careful, like I'll hand it back today. Gave me the chair by the fire. But there's a third chair back in the dark, pushed out of the ring, out of the light. Nobody moves it, nobody looks, and I can't stop looking at it every night. He gave me the chair by the fire. God, he gave me the chair by the fire.
Yeah, something like that. I should go out there more, to Castlemere. He always says come for longer, and I always find a reason the road needs me back. That's a me thing. That's not a him thing. I owe that man a better song than the river one, honestly. Something that's actually his. Maybe I'll write him one. Maybe I'll just keep playing the river one because it makes him think of his grandfather, and that's worth more than anything true I could give him. Good man. Genuinely. The realest good man I've met on this side of anything. I just wish I knew how to sit in the chair. That's enough. That's plenty. Good night, little box.
This was The Common Tales. I'm Phil. The box doesn't laugh, which is why I keep talking to it. Get some sleep.